Okay, Chris, I think it's about time we wound up this show, show number 7. It's we're back now on a regular basis, all being well. So I'd just like to thank you, Chris, for coming on again.
Well, thanks for having me, Nick. It's been a great pleasure.
Fantastic, Chris, as always. So anyway, we're going to bid you a goodbye.
Goodbye.
And we'll catch up again in show 8. Bye-bye for now. Okay. Right, here we are again, listeners.
Here we are. Hello.
This is show 8. And I no doubt you've just been very confused at that. The reason why we've done it, we've just actually redone the end of show 7
because it got cut,
didn't it?
It did.
For some unknown reason, I do not know. But I wanted to publish show 7, so we've just added the end to show 7 onto the beginning of show 8.
Indeed you have, sir.
Well, confused?
I'm very confused before I even started. I'm confused.com.
Anyway, we are here.
Yeah, we are.
And again, I'm joined by the radio legend that is Chris Moore.
And I'm joined by the world-famous rock photographer, Mr. Nicholas Elliott.
Good to see you, my friend.
And you, Nick.
I think your name, can't you make it sexy? Chris Moore.
Chris Moore. No, I don't work, does it? I can't do it.
Oh, no, I think it's great.
I can do it if I've got a cold. Then I go down, I do a Barry White, a perfect Barry White.
Oh, really?
When I get a real bag, I go down about 4 octaves. But I can't do it at the moment.
What about a carrier bag over the head?
No, it doesn't have the same effect.
Doesn't it?
No.
Oh, really?
And people laugh at me anyway.
Okay, what, even if you tie it at the neck?
Yeah, no, it doesn't work.
Don't work?
No. I've got to have the cold, and then I get railed down. But see, I can't do it. So a name like Chris Moore, you can't make that sexy, can you?
Oh.
Chris Moore is Chris Moore is Chris Moore.
No, I think he's good. I think it's Chris Moore. Welcome to Chris Moore.
Hey, you could do one of my jingles for my radio show.
I'll do that.
Yeah, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
I'll do that. Anyway. Good to be back.
Indeed it is.
Welcome, listeners, followers, and lovers of all this crap that we speak on a regular basis.
I was wondering where he's going with that. And all our lovers.
Is that what I said? Lovers. Lovers of the listening to all this crap that we do.
Oh, see what you mean. Right, yeah. Carry on.
Yeah.
I misconstrued you, sir.
Really?
Yes.
Did I feel that?
You probably did. But don't want to admit to it.
Okie dokie.
Right.
Anyway. We're sitting here in front of, and this is the first part of the show, is a Norfolk rich big fruit cake.
Oh, and isn't it beautiful?
I brought it along, present for my dear friend, and we've nogged half of the bugger,
We've demolished it. We've got only 2 more glassy cherries left now.
Oh, I know. They're sexy as bastards, though, aren't they?
Oh, gorgeous. And it's covered with nuts on the top of it and lovely fruit.
Ooh.
And what did you say it's called? A Norfolk?
I think they call it a Norfolk big fruit cake or something.
Wow.
Although it's not a big cake.
And it might not be from Norfolk.
As in volume.
Yeah.
But it's full of big fruit.
It certainly is, isn't it? Yeah.
With glazed cherries on the top.
Oh, marvellous. Glassy cherries.
Is it glassy cherries?
Glassy cherries.
Okay.
Yeah. Could be glazed as well.
Well, whatever.
Depends what you've topped
they're
with.
Just busting. I love them.
If they're soaked in whiskey, they'd be glazed.
Ah.
Wouldn't they?
I suppose they would.
As I would.
Or pissed.
Oh, pissed, yes.
Yeah, pissed cherries.
Pissed cherries. Why are you so red, cherry? I'm pissed. I must stop making you laugh, Nick, because...
The cough.
You cough, aren't you?
I know, I bloody do. I don't know what it is, man.
No.
I don't know.
No.
I blame COVID.
I would. Yeah, I would. But talking of being red and that, have you noticed that some of the MPs come on Question Time, their faces are red, you know, not just tanned, they're red. And you can just imagine, they've been down the bar, haven't they, at the House of Commons.
Oh, you bet your boots.
And that they get it really cheap there.
Yeah.
And they've tanked up before, and then they do their little bit, then they tank up again. I reckon they're absolutely rat-arsed most of the time.
Well, probably they'll talk a bit more sense than they do when they don't, when they're not on the pop, you know. I mean, I haven't watched Question Time for ages.
I watch it religiously, Nick.
Who hosts it now?
Who hosts it? The Prime Minister.
Really?
Yeah, quite PMQs, it's called.
Oh, you're not on a bit of Question Time as in BBC?
Oh, no. I was talking about PMQs.
Parliament knackers.
Prime Minister's Questions.
Ah, yes. Got it.
Wednesday, 12 o'clock, right. For half an hour.
Right, where they all sleep.
They're a little bit rowdy, but it's great fun. I love it.
Yeah, it's good when they get stuck into a punch-up, isn't it?
Oh, yes, and they try to score points. off each other.
Yeah.
And what they also do, which amuses me to pieces, they try to outdo the others, you know. So if they can get them into a corner, they will. And if they can insult them, they will. It's all great fun.
Yeah, because it's... You can't whack a good political punch-up, can you, really?
No, no.
And you do that every Thursday?
Wednesday. Yeah, only half an hour. 12 to half past 12, but not... Oh, this week, or tomorrow's, or whenever it is, can't remember. This week's is going to be the last one, because then they're going to recess.
Oh, of course, they go for an 18-month holiday or something,
right,
don't they?
That's it, yeah. Not bad at all.
Not at all.
Nice work if you can
checkers
get
and all that knackers,
oh,
isn't it?
Oh, yes, that's right, yeah.
That's where old Ricky Shoerack will go, won't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. My mum likes him, by the way.
Does she really?
No, my mum is 91. And she used to call him Dishy Rishi.
Really?
So, mother, behave.
Goodness me.
Behave yourself, mother.
So she's still got all that going on at 91?
I'm not quite so sure now. No, I think she's asleep most of the time now. And I think Rishi has disappointed her, shall we say.
Really?
Yes. So poor old mother doesn't really regard Dishy Rishi as anything such now.
Okay.
No.
What kind of turned the tide?
I think he's... Well, what can I say? Politically, let's be politically correct here. His inaction and his indecisiveness.
Okay.
She didn't like.
Right.
Because she'll call a spade, my mother.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like all this dilly-dallying around, you know, not to offend people and so on. So, no, she's gone off him.
Right, okay.
Your loss, Richie, your loss.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Mrs. Moore is...
He's a trooper.
Off the list.
Off the list.
Yeah.
Won't be getting a Christmas card
no,
this year.
No, he can bollocks.
He can, definitely.
Big time.
Poor old man. Do you know he's very short?
Is he?
Rishi. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's about 5'3".
Is he really?
Yeah.
I don't, what nationality is he?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose isn't he born in Britain?
So he's British. I don't know.
I think he was born in Britain, but he's certainly got some heritage in there, hasn't he? I'm not sure what he is.
No, I'm not. No. To be honest, I know very little. I kind of stepped away from all that stuff after the Brexit vote, to be honest.
Mm.
I declared and declared after the Brexit vote I'd never vote again.
Really?
Mm. And I haven't done anything.
As you probably know, I do take quite an interest in politics.
Well, tell us a bit about that, because you do stand as a Green candidate.
I stand as a Green candidate. I did last time round.
Yeah.
We came last.
Is that for Boston, surrounding areas?
This was the Boston Borough Council.
Okay.
Yeah, well, in I think it's about 18 months' time, there's the county elections coming up.
Right.
So I reckon I'll be doing the same again.
Right.
That's for the whole of Boston. In the meantime, there's probably will be a general election as well, I would imagine, next year sometime.
Oh, right, okay.
And we'll see from there, because in my particular part of the world, I'm the only Green in the village.
Yeah, I know you are. Yeah, yeah. Is that something like being the only gay in the
village? Yes, sorry, along those lines. You said it.
It had to be said, though,
it
didn't
did,
it?
It
did.
I set it up for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you did. Yes. You did, yeah.
I'm the only Green in the
great
village.
Great cross into the area, that
that's,
was.
That's the one, yes. Yeah, so I've always liked a bit of the old politics, you know.
Yeah, I know that is it the last 2 years you've stood?
Yeah, I stood for another party, which was an error. I'm not going to give name.
Right.
So I stood for another party. I became a bit disillusioned with that other group. So moved on to the Greens, who I think stand for all the right things. Really.
Oh, okay.
You know, and not Conservative, not Liberal, not Labour. They're concerned for the planet,
yeah,
the Green Party. But the trouble is they're getting aligned in with these demonstrators at the moment.
Ah, okay. The anti-oil?
The anti-gas or oil, whatever
okay.
they are. Yeah, who are being a little bit of silly billies
right.
with their antics
yeah.
at the moment.
Which is a bit of a nonsense, isn't it? Because the question I ask is, how did they get to the venue to protest?
Yes.
Did they walk?
Well.
I doubt it.
I don't know.
No. They used a mode of transport that no doubt is powered by oil.
Of course, yeah. So hypocrisy rules.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
But anyway, yes, I like political debate as well. So a good evening for me, sitting down with somebody and putting the worlds to right in it.
Oh, right. You like a bit of that, do you?
I like a bit of to and fro.
Ah, bit of political punch up.
Correct. Correct. Yes.
Good.
But that's for me.
No, I mean, I haven't got involved in that kind of thing for quite... I've got quite a lot to say about quite a lot of things.
You certainly have.
Yeah. Not all of it's totally acceptable, but, you know, I do have my views. I wouldn't call them political. I think they're kind of Nick Elliott views, really, Chris.
Have you got copyright on them?
No, I haven't, actually. It's just, you know... what I think of the state of the UK, really.
Yeah, well, you do come out some absolute gems, Nick.
Do you think?
Yeah, so I'd put a little C after it.
Oh, okay.
And copyright them.
Oh.
And if anybody else nicks them, says they're theirs, you can say, oi, I said that.
Yeah.
And you'd have them.
Yeah.
Great fun.
Yeah. Intellectual copyright.
Intellectual copyright, yeah. Yes.
Which would, that would work, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it just? Yeah.
So you tune into most weeks to the old...
PMQs.
Yeah.
I watch it every week.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'm just fascinated by it.
Oh, bloody great, man.
Yeah, yeah. I know the thing you were talking about is Question Time, wasn't it? And that used to go out on a Thursday night.
Yeah, with that Dimbleby, Joey.
Yeah.
That's long, him incredibly annoying.
Well, he's long since gone.
Is he?
Yeah, it's what's that? There's a few. Fiona Bruce, I think, does it now.
Oh, okay.
I believe.
Yeah, BBC.
I've watched that for a long time.
BBC woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
BBC woman.
Yeah, well, she's quite a class act, though, isn't she?
American woman. That reminds me of.
You like a little bit of singing on the shows,
yeah,
don't you?
I do like a little of warbling.
Yeah. Warbling. Warbling.
I like to sing on the shows. I sing the theme tune and I write the theme tune.
Do you sell your own sequins on?
I do, actually. It's funny you say that, Nick. That's what I should be doing as soon as you leave. So
really?
Get the old sequins out.
Are you chucking in for Miss World this year?
I was thinking about it.
Yeah, I would do.
I've got the chest now.
Oh, I've heard it said.
Yeah, look.
I've seen the off-shoulder black number.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. Oh, class act.
It's rather nice, isn't it? Yeah,
Audrey Sweatburn.
That's the one.
Gotta be done.
The mind boggles.
Now, we were going to chat about something, but I can't remember what it was.
No, I can't, actually. That's gone well, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah, wasn't it, we said religion, or...
You were on about that.
Sorry to be on about it.
It doesn't matter. We just talk general knackers on here,
yeah,
really,
we do.
don't we?
Yeah, we do, but... on about it, Nick. That sounds a little bit tiresome. Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah.
What, that you're going on and on and on?
On and on. He's waffling
on
about
your
something.
Fucking nerves.
Yeah,
and...
No, I don't mind. Also wrote down here on my list, AI, artificial intelligence.
Of which, I've got to confess, I don't really know that much about, Chris.
No. It's a interesting thing, though, when you consider it.
It's funny.
It's moving on at a very rapid pace now.
It's funny because probably the only bit that I really do know about it, I've got a very close friend who actually applied for a job using AI to compose the letter and the CV.
Oh, yes. You can do. Yeah, so that's with one of these apps, isn't it? You can do that.
Yeah.
The AI now is capable of creating a photo image of somebody.
Yeah, I know it is.
Which is scary, that is.
Mm.
You know, they had a picture of the Pope. I don't know if you saw this on the TV.
No, I don't think I saw
and,
that one.
It was a Pope in some sort of, you know, rocker gear or something.
Really?
Yeah, some ridiculous outfit. For and they said, who likes this photograph? And people were saying, well, how did you get him to do that? It was a computer-generated image.
Yeah, I mean, Christ almighty.
Which is a bit
God's sake,
freaky,
man.
Isn't it?
I mean, I know that we haven't spoken about it in too much depth, but I know that you do understand where I'm coming from on this, that I'm a realistic kind of a guy. You know, I don't like CGI films. I don't like American over budgeted films. I don't like that. I don't like, you know, and certainly in the business that I'm in, I don't do a lot of post-production or Photoshop on my images. It's for me, it's about ground roots up, floorboards, you know, that's what it's about. And I think, really, you're not going to be able to stop this, but it can't ever be a good thing, can it? It can't ever be a good thing.
No.
Really.
Things that worry me are like in an operating theatre, that robots will do the operations there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit scary.
Bit like
it?
Knocking out a Golf GTI, isn't
it?
You know,
when you've
got all the tools in your chest, you know.
God.
You know.
That would freak me out. Yeah. I saw a robot coming towards me.
Yeah.
With a needle or whatever.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I had open heart surgery. Where did you go? Oh, I went to the Scunthorpe plant, you know, just next door to Nissan, you know.
Oh, you know, no.
It's a nonsense.
Oh, dear. And it can do all sorts of things. It can write things for you.
Oh, no. Well, like I say, this guy, he applied for a job and it was all done through AI, the application letter and the CV.
Yeah.
But surely, though, that can't be a good thing.
No, it's not.
Because when you know, these things come in and people sift through, if they ever bother to do that nowadays, I don't know what they do on a job interview. But, you know, they sift through and, Christ, I've just got Clark Kent walk through the door, you know, Superman. Yeah. And it turns up and it's some Joey that's been on the dust, you know, for 13 years of his life or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, collecting trolleys at Aldi.
I know. Other stores are available.
Indeed.
Yes.
Tesco's, Sainsbury's, Morrison's.
Lidl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Iceland.
Yeah.
Sunfields.
Yeah.
Waitrose.
Oh, Christ.
You name.
You're obviously an authority on
Poundland.
Oh, God's sakes.
I like Poundland.
Do you?
Mm, everything's a pound.
Yeah, but it ain't, though, is it? You
no,
go in
not.
There and
it's
they
not.
Want 18 quid for a bag.
Yeah, I thought about that. I thought, surely you've got them on Trade Descriptions Act here, haven't you? You go into a shop called Poundland. It's like the joke, isn't it? A person goes into Poundland and says, how much is that? And the assistant laughed. And he said, a pound. Well, that's the joke.
It's not that funny. Really. No. Well, like I say, you go in there, everything costs a quid.
Yes.
And then they want 35 quid for a bag to take it all home.
Yes.
You know?
Something's not right there.
No. But then welcome to the UK.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Elucidate, sir. Elucidate.
Oh, a what?
Elucidate.
What's that?
You said, welcome to the UK. With an exclamation mark after it.
Yeah.
What's the point you're making there?
The point of it is that, you know, that's the best way of summing up what a bloody dog shit situation that is.
Right.
You know.
Yes.
Welcome to the UK.
Yes. Well,
I say that quite a lot because, you know, it's like the journey coming here today.
Oh, you say.
You know, dear, oh dear, what a nonsense, man.
Mm.
Nobody works in this country anymore, Chris.
No.
They're all going out getting lemon muffins and having a Costa and jamming up the pissing roads. You know, how can they? How can they work if there's so many people on the bloody road?
Well, yeah. Of course, a lot of people work from home.
Yeah, but they're not working from home, are they, when they're sitting in front of me in their bloody Audi?
No, that's right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Other cars are available.
Indeed. Volkswagen, Fords.
Yeah. Nissan. Larders. Actually, do you remember larders?
Yeah, they don't make them anymore.
No, I used to have a larder.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was a real contradiction in terms. It was the top-of-the-range larder.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that, one with wheels and...
it had wheels.
It went round corners?
It had wheels.
Yeah.
It took a long time to go around a corner.
Did it?
You had to say to the car, in about 5 minutes from now, car, I want you to do a left turn. And you start turning the wheel.
Right.
Because it didn't respond very quick, you know.
Russian? Were they Russian?
They were Russian cars, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, didn't do much Russian in them.
No.
That's a good one. this top of the range one. It was top of the range because it had a leather interior. You believe this? Leather interior. And I'd never had a car with a leather interior.
Really?
But this top of the range Lada had a beautiful leather interior, wooden trimmings around the side.
Good God.
I thought, why are they bothering in a Lada? You know? But it was
what year was this?
Oh, this is way back, 70s, I think 1970s,
right.
Yeah.
I don't know when they stopped making them, I have no idea.
Well, I think they've stopped selling them in the UK, I think because there was so much wrong with the things, you know, like the car I had.
I think that was about a fortnight after they hit the shore, weren't it? They stopped selling them.
It very regularly broke down, this
did
car.
It?
Yes.
Christ, they were really Heath Robinson, weren't
oh,
they?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. So, but it was all I could afford.
Yeah,
back
yeah,
in
well,
the
yeah, totally. You know, totally.
I used to dream of driving
yeah,
big cars around,
yeah.
But wasn't to be.
No.
No. No. But then I went upmarket onto a Fiat Seicento.
Oh, okay.
Which is about the size of a matchbox. And people used to say, how do you get inside that car?
Had you got the Fiat when I first met you?
Yeah, I think I probably did.
Right.
It's a tiny little car.
Yeah.
And now I've got a very nice, what's it called out there? A Kia.
Oh, that's it.
That's very, very nice, very nice little Kia.
Yeah, you've had that a while, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
I remember you buying that, actually.
Yeah, that's all right. It's serving me well, that one. So.
Yeah, a good little tin.
Yeah, I'm not one for cars, really. As long as they go from A to B, that's all I'm worried about. But this is a nice little thing.
Do you do a lot of motoring? I think you're off somewhere at the weekend.
I'm off at
aren't you?
Kent, down to Kent. So that's down the A16, M11, then the dreaded M25.
That's always a giggle, isn't it?
Across the Dartford Tunnel, across the bridge, whatever it is, which way you're going. Because it's the tunnel going
coming back. Yeah, tunnel back, bridge in.
Yeah, that's right. Then I get down onto the A21.
Right.
And then off at Tunbridge.
Oh, so it's Scumbridge Wells, is it?
No, never. Tunbridge and Tunbridge Wells are two different places.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you educated me on this before, haven't
Tunbridge,
you?
Tunbridge, the town Tunbridge, very historical. It's got a lovely castle, or the remains of a castle. It's spelt with an O, so Tunbridge or Tunbridge.
Okay. Okay?
Sits on the River Medway. Tunbridge Wells has the prefix Royal Tunbridge Wells, spelt with a U. So Tunbridge Wells.
Oh, okay.
And this is because Queen Victoria used to frequent the spas there.
Really?
Yes. And ever since then, Tunbridge Wells has been rather up itself.
Yeah.
So you get things like, "Yours Disgusted" from Tunbridge Wells is often quoted in the papers.
Okay.
And the big rivalry between Tunbridge Wells and Tunbridge.
Yeah. How far between the two?
5 miles.
Oh, okay. I spent quite a bit when I was doing a lot of IKEA. It was in the advertising world. I shot a lot of campaigns for Kia, and they were just at Scumbridge Wells, as we used to call
it. Scumbridge, that's about right.
And the Pantiles, was it?
Oh, yes, they're nice. Yeah. The Pantiles are nice. Mm.
Yeah, and then there was it, would I be right in saying there was a drinking fountain or something in the middle of it?
Yeah, that's right. It's that. Those are the spa walls.
Are they?
Yes.
Right.
And to drink that, it's like drinking rust. It's horrible.
I didn't bother with that.
No, I wouldn't do it. No. But the Pantiles are very grand, and if people don't know it, it's like a shopping arcade.
That's it.
But all laid with Pantiles.
That's it. Yeah.
And it's very, very nice and very expensive.
Yeah.
And very exclusive. You know, at Tunbridge, by reverse of that, it's just a little old town. You know.
It big place.
Tunbridge, I would say, is I don't know size of. Don't know really. Can't really compare a size with it.
Boston.
No, it's smaller than Boston.
Okay.
But, it's just sort of average middle-sized town.
Talking about Boston, a question that I'd like answering, if you can.
I'll try my very best.
What is here that kind of makes it such a busy, bloody place?
Nick, you said that earlier, and I still haven't got the answer to that.
Right.
I don't know. Because the time I can think about this is a couple of weeks ago. The television company GB News came down to do a day's filming from Boston.
Yeah.
Now, GB News is the Michael Farage run channel.
Oh, okay.
And Michael Farage was very big in Boston when it came round to the referendum.
Of course.
And so on. And they were hoping to get an image of what was going on in Boston. But when they did the photo shoots and everything, there was nobody in the town to be seen. Nobody. It was deserted.
Really?
Yeah. And the word went round that what happened was the police had moved everybody away from camera shot.
Had they really?
Well, I don't know, so I wasn't there.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But it was mysteriously quiet at that time.
Because it was hellishly busy, man, coming in here today.
Yeah.
It, you know, and I thought, I mean, what is, obviously there's the farming.
Yes.
Side of things, yeah, because we're in the Fens, aren't we?
Yes.
But outside that, what is the commerce? Is there any commerce here?
No.
Nothing at all.
I can't think of any particular reason why there should be a big influx of people into Boston.
There was, though. It was nose to tail in, and it was nose to tail out. Probably they were all coming in nose to tail. Got to where they wanted to go, thought, this is a dog shit place. And then they headed off back, causing another nose to tail the other way.
Boston has a bit of a reputation.
Does it?
As being not a too desirable place to be.
Right.
Which I think is a little bit unfortunate.
Why is that, Chris?
I don't want to go into too much detail. Suffice to say, there's a lot of people in Boston who aren't welcoming of the influx of Eastern European people that come into the town.
Right, hence Farage.
Yes, so the whole show is dictated like that. And it's true. If you go into Boston town centre, you will come across groups of these different nationalities who have their ways about them. You know, like, they don't speak to each other.
Okay.
They shout at each other.
Right.
And people find that a little bit intimidating.
Yeah.
So you get some people saying, I don't go out at Boston at night, it's a no-go area. I don't feel that at all.
Really?
I've been there in Boston at night. I don't find it as a no-go zone.
It's relatively safe, yeah. And
I would say so, but at one point, Boston got the title the murder capital of the UK.
Murder capital?
They called it that. And it was splashed all over the national papers.
Goodness me, really?
It was statistics. You know that expression, lies, damn lies and statistics?
Yeah.
It was that. They twisted the figures to make it seem like all the murders are going on in Boston. It was a manipulation.
So if you want to whack somebody, you come to Boston to do it?
Yes, that's right.
But then surely you have to invite the person to come to Boston who you want to kill anyway.
Well, it would be something like that, yes.
Probably that's why the traffic was nose to tail.
Well, we've had a couple of really bad murders over the last couple of years.
Is there a good murder?
Well, you know what I mean. That is not. No, we've had a couple of a very bad one of a child, which is just recent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a no-no, isn't it?
It was dreadful. And the bloke was found not in mind to defend himself.
Oh, okay.
But he was found guilty.
Right.
You know.
That's so recent, is it?
That very last... Well, it happened a couple of years ago, but it came to trial.
Okay.
And, yeah. And then we've had some others, you know, just random attacks on each other.
Really?
Yeah. But it is what you make of it, isn't it? You know, I like Boston. It's got a fantastic history.
Yeah, I mean, the river bay and the kind of quayside and that industrial part of it is quite an interesting...
You've got a lot of very interesting buildings in Boston. You've got the Boston Stump.
Which I've never been.
Oh, you really want to get... You want next time you're here, Nick,
good gig.
We'll go along there.
Okay.
You don't have to be religious to appreciate it.
No. I don't have a problem with religion anyway.
It's a very, very nice building. It's almost like a cathedral.
Right.
You know, it's massive there. And that was all built on the wealth of people way back in the years, you know, when Boston was a very important trading port.
Right.
You know. But, yeah, it has its problems, but I like the place.
Have you been here long?
Boston. This is the longest I've ever been anywhere, Nick, to be quite honest. It must be getting on for 20 years now.
Oh, right, okay.
I came up here after my divorce.
Yeah.
So my divorce, I don't want to have ownership of it.
Yeah.
After I was divorced, I should say.
Indeed.
When I used to live down in the southeast.
Yeah.
And the price of housing down there is
mental,
ridiculous. And, of course, once the divorce process has gone through, with what I was left with, I could just afford a rabbit hutch. You know?
Right, okay.
So I decided to relocate. And it was random choice. Literally was.
Oh, so you never came here for any reason?
I've never been here before. Nope. Excuse me. The only reason I came here was because my dad said that during the Second World War, he remembered being in Boston and thought it was a very nice place.
Really?
So we came up and we just happened to be driving around and we come across this housing estate. And they just said, by the way, this little property is just this second come back on the market.
Yeah.
Would you like to have a look at it? I had a look at it, bought it.
Really? Yeah. That's how it happened?
That's how it happened, yeah.
Goodness me.
And that's where I've been ever since. But I think there is one more move left of me, Nick.
Do you reckon?
I get itchy feet after a while.
Oh.
I don't know where.
What do you fancy?
I fancy the coast.
Ah, right.
A bit of wild coast.
Yeah.
Not your seaside.
No.
I mean wild, which is when you were talking about Scotland earlier on. I was thinking, yeah, somewhere up in Scotland.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, really
Scotland's
nice,
a mean place.
The nice sort of wildness of it all. We shall see, won't we?
I'm quite surprised at that, actually.
Yeah. Well, you got me down as a townie or something.
No, not at all, no. No, I've probably got you, because I know how established you are here with the studio, the rest of it. You're very happy here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. It's not a negative thing at all.
And it's usually either money or a woman that you decide to move, isn't it?
Well,
you know,
that is the reason, isn't it?
That's one of those two things.
Yeah. But there we are.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, yeah. What a story about Boston. I mean, obviously it features, over here this way, doesn't it? Because of the war.
Yes.
Yeah, bomber bases here.
That's right,
a lot of them, this is called
Bomber County.
Yeah.
And we got the Battle of Britain Memorial just down the road in Spilsby, I think it is.
That's it, yeah. And also this where the Dam Busters went from, isn't it?
Stanton, that's right,
which is in Lincolnshire.
Yeah.
And I know they've got the Bomber Command Museum in Lincoln, haven't they?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Yeah.
Oh, is that what you're on about?
Oh, Bomber Command, that's in Spilsby. That's there.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the one I was talking about.
Because there's one in Lincoln, isn't there?
That's the a very moving place.
Yeah, which I still keep threatening to go, actually.
You want
to
go?
Yeah.
Because it's, again, great photography opportunities there.
Actually. Is it good?
Yeah, so they've got a lot of these silhouettes that they've made out of metal.
Oh, yeah?
You get a really nice... get a nice photograph, I can imagine.
Oh, right,
certain
okay.
angles, and you're looking right over the city of Lincoln. You're up high.
Oh, good.
And they got this almost like obelisk thing in the centre of it, which is the actual memorial.
Right.
It's good stuff. Well worth a visit. A fantastic museum as well.
And it's a memorial to actually Bomber Command per se.
No, it's just the Second World War.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's pretty good. I've got a couple of friends that have been... you know, I'm quite into that kind of shit.
Good
anyway,
museum as well.
Is it?
Yep. So it's worth a visit.
Yeah. Might well do. So they are listeners. If you fancy a day out and you're big time into the war,
yeah,
go to Lincoln.
Tell them Chris sent you.
I'll tell them.
They say, who's they then?
Yeah. Mm. Recommended by Chris Moore.
Chris. I can't do that now. I've been trying to work myself. Chris Moore. No, it doesn't work. Get a cold, Chris, and then I can do it.
Yeah, or start smoking 20 a day.
Do that, yes, yeah.
That'll do it.
Chris Moore on something radio.
Chris Moore Rock Show.
The Rock Show. Late Night Rock with Chris, the Reverend.
Yeah, that's it. You used to call yourself the Reverend, didn't you?
I was given that name.
Were you really?
I think it's great.
By who?
By a certain station I used to work at.
Okay.
They found out that I actually am a reverend.
Are you then?
I am. And I can show you the very proof of it. I am a reverend.
Tell me more.
Tell me more. Tell
Chris
me more.
Moore.
Does he drive a big car? Tell me more. Tell me more. Anyway, yeah, I've got myself an online ordination, which I did for a joke.
Really?
This is years ago. I saw it come up. It said, get yourself ordained for $10. It's an American thing.
Yeah.
And I did. I thought, this is a hoot. So it comes back, this email and a certificate. It says, congratulations, Reverend Moore. You are now able to conduct marriages and burials and christenings in so-and-so Church of America.
Stone.
Yeah. And I told people this. And they said, well, that works quite nicely. I said, what does? They said, the Reverend of Rock, you see.
Yeah.
I thought, that's got a ring, isn't it? The Reverend of Rock. So we went from there. And they were doing their AGM one year. And some clever so-and-so had superimposed dog collar onto my photograph.
Right.
So I really looked the part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it said, Chris, the Reverend Moore. And it stuck. And I use it now on the radio station. I do.
Oh, brilliant.
Stuff. Yeah, so it's all a bit of a giggle, Nick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's all about, isn't it? Having a giggle. Definitely. Shall we have another bit of cake?
Let's have a bit of cake. Shall I be mother?
Yeah.
Shall I be mother?
You be mother.
All right. This is good for good radio, this is.
It is.
Soaring through the cake. Can you hear that, listeners?
Cool.
There you are, Nick.
Busting, man.
There you go.
Busting.
Whoops.
Let's chat about cake. What's your favourite cake?
My favourite cake, Nick. I don't really like this one, actually, to be quite honest.
Mm.
This is very nice. Favourite cake. I like a bit of angel cake.
Right.
Mm, I like that. Battenberg, I like.
I like a bit of Battenberg.
I used to pick it all the bits.
Yeah.
You know, pile them up in different colours.
Yeah.
And Christmas cake.
Build yourself a small weekend place, yeah. Out of Battenberg.
Mm, that's it.
Mm.
I've got a poem called Battenberg.
Oh, yeah?
Mm. A little poem I wrote. And I call it Battenberger by the Sea.
Right.
And everybody there, and everything there, is either pink or yellow.
Right.
Nonsense.
There's nothing wrong with nonsense, Chris.
Pardon?
There's nothing wrong with nonsense.
There's not, no, no. Edward Lear made a living out of it.
Mm, it's gets you through the day.
Mm. That's his cake, though.
Mm.
Which they will...
Bloody good, isn't it?
Mm, see, they can probably hear us now, munching away on the cake.
Mm.
This is not professional.
Thinking to themselves, fuck me, this is a boring show.
Mm. Listening to those
Why
things.
Do I listen to this load of dog shit?
All we're hearing these two blokes masticating.
Mm, really?
Mm.
Or eating cake as
well?
Eyes down, new game.
I set you up for that one as well. We're a bit like Morecambe and Wise, you know. I'll set you up. You can come in with the hit.
Indeed. Well, look at that weather out there, Chris. Dear, oh dear.
It's a bit of a beast, isn't it?
And it a bit disappointing, though, for people who, you know, like mum and dads that are taking their children away for a holiday and, you know, on the beach and all that. You've been waiting 12 months for it.
Yeah, and it's raining.
You've just got rid of the 11 months of winter that we've had.
Yeah.
Wait for the 20 minutes of summer that we always have.
I know.
You know.
But we, when I was a teacher, this time of year was the absolute favourite. Can you imagine the rush of excitement you got as a teacher going in on the last day of term of summer? You knew the school was shut down early and then you were free for the entirety of August, you know.
What did you used to do during the summer holidays?
I did anything anybody else would do during their holidays. Went somewhere, you know, relaxed.
Right.
General bits around the house, you know. But then, of course, you get to the end of it and you get this dreadful sinking feeling when you go back.
Depressing.
Oh, that's bad.
Depressing.
So that's like going back on a Monday morning after a weekend, but magnify it about 10 times.
Oh, yeah.
Not nice.
And this is, I take it, the day when we had 7-8 weeks off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they only do 6 now, though, five and a bit or whatever it is. Yeah.
They spread it out a bit.
And you get these lunatics who, God, I can't wait to get back to school. I've missed my friends and all this bloody nonsense.
As a pupil, I was like that.
Were you really? Mm.
I loved school.
I know you love school.
Yeah, as a pupil. And as a teacher, I went into it very idealistic. I was going to change the world, you know, get everybody right and peace and love and all that. Fast forward 20 odd years, couldn't get out of it quick enough, you know. Very depressing.
I know you've said that before. Yeah,
so I came out and best move I ever made.
I mean, you can understand that kind of attitude, though, can't you? Of going in, hoping that you can mould these people.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've spoken before, not necessarily on these shows, but we have on the radio shows, haven't we, about, you know, there is one particular guy that was my teacher at school, a guy called Tim Rayner, who was a pottery teacher, but he was seriously, seriously into photography.
Yeah.
And, you know, somehow in some form, they got this kind of policy in the last year at Stangray and Comprehensive School, as it was then. You could dedicate a considerable amount of the term to, we will say, selective subjects.
Yeah,
that could be, I don't know, PE, it could be history, whatever. And you got to spend more time doing those things. And they added photography to the curriculum in Stangram. And that's what this guy brought to the table, you know. And we set up and built a dark room and, you know, went out and did a few shots. And then that become a little paper that was being done for the school. And you go and photograph, you know, Julie, who just run 100 yards in 3 weeks, you know, that kind of vibe. But it was such a forming thing for me.
Yeah, it must have been very influential.
Well, it was. Mm. And I mean, this guy had got a groove going on as well. You know, he wore Afghan coats. He got long hair and all this
Afghan
shit.
Afghan coats, yeah.
You know, very reminiscent of Robin out of... trying to think of the show with the two girls.
Oh yeah, I know who you
Man
mean.
About the House.
Man About the House.
That was it. Very much like that guy.
Did he have a nice smell of patchouli oil?
Well, it was all that kind of stuff, you know, incense and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the guy just was really into photography. And, and I spent the last year, my fourth year, doing that.
God,
you know, and it was such a basis, really, even the little newspaper, which was just a load of bloody rubbish. But, you know, I left there. Then I went into Peter Reeby Telegraph, you know, into the press world.
Yeah.
And you know, that really is the formation of where I am today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how it works, isn't it?
You know.
But that was all the years before the national curriculum came in, which said, you must do this by then, this by then, this by then, and there was no way you could develop an interest in something.
No.
So, for example, I was mainly a history teacher, and you could really get them going, you know, some of the younger kids on things like the plague.
Yeah.
And you could do so much with it. But no, National Crimp says, this week you're doing that, and that's it. And all of a sudden, the fun was withdrawn.
Well, on that subject, and this amazed me the other week, a friend of mine, I think she's about 24, she works at this certain place, and they asked her to put on this corporate gig that these people do, you know, team building and all this nonsense, you know, welcome to America, that kind of bollocks. And anyway, she had to find somewhere to host this thing. And she said, we're going to go so-and-so, so-and-so. This is, apparently, have you heard of this guy called Oliver Cromwell? This is where he lived or whatever. She didn't know Oliver Cromwell was. Wow. I mean, what is that a fucking about?
Yeah, something wrong there, isn't it?
Holy shit. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
No. Well, you see, history now, you're not sort of taught dates and events as such, which you can argue either way, whether it's a good or a bad thing. Something like you've mentioned is pretty grim.
Yeah.
But you're taught themes through history, you know, like nationalism through history or the rights of women through history, which is all well and good, but there are certain things where you should have 1066, Battle of Hastings.
Totally, yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
1939 to 1945, Second World War.
Yeah.
You know, certain landmarks.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's sadly lacking there. So
it did shock me. Yeah. Didn't know who Oliver Cromwell was.
No, and of course, history as a subject is being pushed for its space on the curriculum anyway.
Is it really?
Because of all these technologies that are coming in.
You really?
Know, education now is about numeracy, literacy, and technology. You know, and that's about it. They're the three buzzwords, if you like. So a subject like little old history, marginalised. PE, marginalised.
Good God.
You know, not nice.
What is it coming to?
The world is doomed.
It's indeed. Doomed.
Chris Moore.
Okay. I think, anyway, for now, I think we're pretty much done, Chris, don't you?
Now, should we do the end a bit better this time?
Let's try and see if we can.
Yes, okay. Well, so I'll let you start.
We'll do a very professional end.
Right.
Good evening, listeners. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for following the podcast and continue to do that.
Because we need your support.
A lot of it. And I'd just like to thank my dear friend, Chris Moore. Hopefully you've enjoyed the show. I know we've bunnied on quite a lot tonight, but I think it's been a bit of a giggle, and hopefully you've joined us in having a bit of a laugh. And you've learnt a lot, hopefully, off Chris. So anyway, for now, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Thank you ever so much for coming on.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for visiting Moore Towers.
Moore Towers?
Yes. You like that?
I'll just have a cup of tea.
Okay. And just do that nice Chris Moore voice.
Bye-bye, Chris Moore.
Bye-bye, Nick.